grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's holy word today is our gospel lesson, John chapter 3, beginning at the first verse. And dear brothers and sisters in the faith, sooner or later you have to end up at John chapter 3. End up at John chapter 3, verse 16, you know the verse, God so loved the world. Sooner or later you got to end up there, or you haven't ended up anywhere. Now you have heard it from this pulpit before, and if you're new to St. Peter's and you haven't heard it, then I will repeat it for you. And that is that there are but two religions in the world. There are only two religions in the world. There's the religion of God, as you can imagine. There's also the religion of man, because man is very religious. There's the religion that flows from the loving and gracious heart of God, and the religion that flows from the darkened and rebellious heart of man. There is the religion that is right before God. There is the religion that seems right or looks right to mankind. There's the religion of grace and mercy and pardon given freely to us in Jesus Christ and his cross. And on the other hand, there's the religion of effort and work and striving and behavior and obedience and service given to God in order to merit his blessing. There is the religion of grace that guarantees a place in heaven. There is the religion of obedience that guarantees a place in hell. Two different religions. And it doesn't matter what names you want to use. You could call them all sorts of things. You could even use the word Christian. The crucial question remains in all of this: where does your hope lie? Where is it grounded? Is your faith, I hope I've done enough things to make God happy with me? If that's your faith, I can tell you already, you have not done enough things to make God happy with you. You don't have any hope at all, if that's your hope. On the other hand, do you say with the hymn, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness? Well, David says the same thing. Today's second lesson, and I quote, David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Righteousness way over there, works way over there. Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven. Blessed are they whose sins are covered. Blessed is the person whose sin the Lord will never count against them. And the reason why? Because sin is not removed by obedience. No matter what all those religions say, sin is not removed by obedience. Sin is removed by atonement, by the cross of Christ and the righteousness of Christ. And that's today's gospel lesson. Comes out in today's gospel lesson, because what you have there is an evening meeting between two men, our Lord Jesus and Nicodemus. But it's not just a meeting between two men. It's a butting of heads. A butting of heads between two religions. The religion of God and the religion of man. And what the outcome is going to be for Nicodemus is really kind of left in doubt. It doesn't really say. And the reason why is because Nicodemus comes to God the way we all naturally do. He comes to God the way every man or woman does, with his religion all ready to go. And this is his religion. It's simple. We like simple. His simple religion is A, God gave his commandments. B, I obey. C, if I obey, I will be blessed and have a chance to live. That's his belief system. And so he comes to Jesus, and he says, Rabbi, teacher, which is revealing, and how he addresses the Lord. He says, teach me basically how to keep the commandments so I have a chance to live. And Jesus says to him, you have no chance to live. You have no chance to live. And I quote, no man, no woman, no person can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born again, or born from above, depending on how you want to translate it. In other words, salvation does not come from below. It does not come from you offering up obedience and service and performance to God. Salvation comes from above. Jesus giving you his obedience and performance and service. Salvation comes from above. God's Son sent to atone for your sin, God's Holy Spirit being put in you as a gift of God so that you can believe. Now Nicodemus hears those words and this is his response. He says, how can this be? How can this be? And so our Lord Jesus starts again. He says, okay, let's rewind. Let's start again. He says, Nicodemus, you have to be born of water and the Spirit. And think for a moment. What a beautiful picture holy baptism is, water in the Spirit. Holy baptism is of grace, especially when you see a little child, an infant, brought forward to the baptismal font. What do you see up there? Does a little child have power to reach to God? Does the little child decide for God? Does the infant perform for God? Does the infant obey God? None of those things are there. But what happens? They can't reach to God, so the good Lord reaches down to them. And why? Flesh gives birth to flesh. We don't rise above what we are. We can't reach up to where God is. He's got to come down to us. And that's true even when you're an adult, maybe more so when you're an adult. Flesh gives birth to flesh. You can't reach to the Lord. God reaches down to you. Now, once again, Nicodemus says, how can this be? How can this be? And at this juncture, our Lord Jesus is amazed. He's amazed that a teacher of Israel, a theologian, a preacher, doesn't know Israel's history. You don't know your people's history. It's always been that way. It's always had to be that way. By the grace of God, the word grace means a gift. It has to be the gift of God. Many examples of that, but how about the book of Joshua? We don't often turn to Joshua. Very end of the book of Joshua, this is what it says. Joshua speaks to the people of Israel, and he says, from ancient time, your ancestors lived beyond the river. That's the Euphrates River. They didn't live in the promised land. And he says, Terah, the father of Abraham, your ancestor, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. Of course, the other gods always tell you, you have to serve and serve and serve, and then maybe the God is pleased with you. They served other gods. And then the Lord says this, but I took your father Abraham from beyond the river. I led him through all the land of Canaan. And that's, of course, today's Old Testament lesson. Because what happens in the Old Testament lesson? God takes an unbeliever, and out of the blue, he calls him to be his child. He calls him away from other gods by grace, not by merit. And then the Lord says, and so I sent Moses and Aaron. I brought your fathers out of Egypt. I brought you into the land of the Amorites. I gave them into your hand. And I gave you the promised land. I gave you a land for which you did not labor. You didn't do it. It wasn't your effort. I gave you cities which you had not built. You are eating of vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. It was all a gift of grace. And now, why does Nicodemus not get it? Well, he doesn't get it because he can only speak of what he knows. All he knows is his effort for God, his obedience to God, his performance for God, earthly things that I can offer up to God to make him happy and pleased with me, because that's all the darkened human heart can ever know of God. But when Jesus speaks, And he speaks to you and me too. He speaks of things that he knows. Nicodemus speaks about what he knows. Jesus now speaks about what he knows. And these are heavenly things. And this is what he says. He says, you remember your Bible? Let's go back to it. Let's go back to the history. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. And you may remember how the people were bitten by snakes, vipers. They couldn't keep themselves alive. But a bronze snake was put up on a pole and held up for them to look to. And when they looked to it, they lived. They survived. And so what's held up for us? What is held up for you and me? Well, it depends on your religion. You could say, well, this is what's held up for me, a rule book. What's held up for me is the Ten Commandments. What's held up for me is right behavior. What's held up for me is a code to live by. What's held up for me is obedience to follow and to live. What's held up for me is service to God. And the Lord says, how about this? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave it. It was a gift. He gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Which religion is yours? Which one? The book, the code, the obedience, the commandments, the rules, the service? Or is it God so loved me? He gave his Son for me. I'm washed clean in Jesus. I have eternal life in him. Which one is yours? Because you got two choices. Two religions in the world, the religion of God, the religion of man, the religion of grace, the religion of behavior. Which one is yours? Now you say, well, I'm a Christian, and that's good. It's good to say that. But a lot of people say that, and they still hope that somehow they've done enough to make God happy. They still believe that being saved comes from below, what you do for the Lord. And again, if that's your hope, you don't have any hope. Flesh gives birth to flesh. You can't rise above it. No one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again or born from above. It's better to say along with the hymn, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Nothing less, because nothing less will work. Nothing less will do. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior.